Thank you, and good morning. Now we have sound. Having a little problem there earlier, and I think it's all fixed up, so that's good. So we're going to have a little time of prayer, and we invite you to please keep those who you love, those who you know, in prayer. And also, I would just lift up to Barbie Bartlett and her family. Barbie, who sang in the choir for decades, and then they moved to Delaware. Her husband, Paul, died on December 21st. And so if we can just keep them all in your prayers, that would be wonderful. Also, Stephanie Whitaker's brother, Brett Batchelor, who's been in the hospital now, mostly in ICU for about 4 weeks, just got taken off of a ventilator. He's been having many, many surgeries, really, really difficult time. So if you can keep Stephanie, Brett, and their whole families in your prayers, that would be wonderful. Also, Tim O'Neill, who has started serving as our sexton starting last spring, and who's been a church member for a long time, he and Jennifer, had a hip replacement on Monday, and very, very fortunately, with thanks to the doctors and thanks to God, the hip surgery turned out really, really well. So we can pray for him, for his recovery, and also those who have been recently diagnosed with cancer and who are preparing for upcoming treatment, and those who are in active and ongoing treatment and rehabbing and gathering their strength. Let's pray for all of these and those within our hearts. Okay, let us pray. Love and just constant presence. We come to you today taking this time to rest our minds and our hearts and our souls and to be able to focus on your presence with us here. For you know us even better than we know ourselves. As the psalmist said, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. We're blessed to have been created by you and to have you as a part of our own being. Whatever happens to us happens to you. For we are indeed of one body, one mind, one soul. One in spirit, one in the Lord, one body of Christ. So when we're in need of strength and comfort, and justice and healing and encouragement, remind us, we pray, that you've not left us, that you can't leave us, but you're with us and always within us. When disease or sickness affects our body, it might knock us down for the moment. Remind us, we pray, that while our bodies are temporal and finite, devastation can never touch our soul. And God, since you know all of our abilities as well as our limitations, you know that sometimes we misunderstand. Sometimes we fail to get it right, but you never do. So may we reach out to you and reach into you for your wisdom to help us to quiet our distractions within and around us and to truly learn to listen. And in seeking to learn, may we truly understand. And help us to understand, God, questions to not so much why me, but God, what should I do now? How should I respond in a faithful way? How would you have me respond? So thank you, God, for loving us through every step of our lives as we go forward this week, with its many realized and potential blessings and heartbreaks and successes. May we always keep you before us to lead our way and behind us to encourage and sometimes push us. May we keep you beside us, beneath us, above us, and within us, as we remain strongly with you in all of it. With your Spirit, this we pray. Amen. I just want to say, Karen, it's okay. Let it out. Go ahead and cough. We all know that feeling, right? We all know that feeling. And actually, as that was happening, it's perfect timing, just before the call to offering, because you know when things get really bad is when you try to hold it in, right? That's right. So dig for your wallets. But you know, when you try to hold it in, like the more you try to hold it in and hold back, the tougher it gets. And when you just let things out and you just let things go and you let that energy flow, then things get better. It reduces that tension. That's how God made us. That's how God made us when it comes to give and when it comes to love, to just not hold back and to just open up and give. Jesus said it in 1,000 different ways. And that's what we get to do right now with our offerings that we release with great love, and they are received, and then they are released and magnified and multiplied again and again with even greater love. Our morning's offering will now be received.
join together in our prayer of dedication.
Receive these gifts, O God, as expressions of our gratitude and loving devotion. May they be used to multiply your love among us and all people. Amen. Thank you. And with that, I'm actually going to invite Paul Ducey. Paul Ducey, come on up. Paul Ducey is the co-chair of our stewardship committee, and he's been many things in this church, chair of trustees and chair of deacons, and a very good friend. And I had just asked him to talk for a moment before we get into our scripture and sermon a little bit about stewardship. You bet.
Morning. Hold it up. I brought this year's stewardship brochure with me because I want to highlight several things about it. First, I want to say a thank you for the work put into the brochure. We've got a dedicated stewardship committee, and in particular, we want to thank Cindy Jackson for her artistic and design expertise and really for her great spirit and creativity. We also want to say a thank you to Pam Poling for her great photography. Most of the photos that we have in the brochure were taken by Pam. The brochure tells our story in pictures. Our wonderful ministers, our great choirs, our generous missions outreach, Christian education programs, plus all of our fellowship. We obviously like working together, being together, celebrating together. The brochure is full of bright, colorful pictures. I know there are tons of smiles there hiding behind some masks in a lot of these photos. And that's not surprising. The brochures and an accompanying letter and forms were first sent out in mid-November. Hopefully you received one and took the time to absorb it and enjoy it. Many of you have provided your 2022 pledges already. We're making progress toward our goal. Remember that we all rely on each other. Our pledges are targeted to cover over 70% of our budget. We know a number of you will still plan to pledge and will do so. At this point, we're asking that you pledge in the next couple weeks. We want to know that we are in good shape ahead of our February budget meeting. You do not have to mail in a form. You can go to the website and pledge through the Giving tab. Also, you can just reach out to Paul DiPrato with an email or a call. You can get a brochure resent to you or pick one up in Fellowship Hall today. And if you have one at home, then take a moment to review it. On the cover, it says, "Continue encouraging each other and building each other up, just like you are already doing," from 1 Thessalonians. I'd say look through it to remind yourself of all the powerful and positive reasons why this is a great church to support. Thank you.
So much, Paul, as that blends in beautifully with our offering, with our love, with just being able to gather here, coming in on a snowy day to worship and to hear God's word. I'm going to be sharing these two scripture passages that you have in your bulletin in just a few moments. Just before I do, just a few things to talk about. Last week, January 6th is, I'm not sure what you're thinking of, but January 6th is Epiphany. January 6th is that same date, regardless of what day of the week it lands on, has been Epiphany since the late 300s. That's when it was named. When we think about the wise men coming to visit Jesus and the Epiphany that occurred in the world on that day, the new way of looking at things, the new life. I had an epiphany last week. It wasn't on the 6th, it actually came on the day later, on the 7th. And my epiphany was, how ironic or something is it that now, even when I mention January 6th, that's also now indelibly linked with the other January 6th event in Washington, D.C., that was also turns out to be a watershed event in a different way. It's now deeply burned into our consciousness as one way of how humanity can behave with each other. And we recognize that this is not the first time by a long shot that humanity behaved like that. It's not going to be the last. It's not even the worst that humanity has behaved, but it's also far from the best if you listen to Jesus and what his epiphany was about, in terms of sharing a new way of how we're supposed to treat each other. And that's what our entire faith is about, how we treat each other, really. And I say this because the event on January 6th, just like the two prophecies that we hear today, they all come together, they beg the question, as does every day of our lives. And this is a question to us as individuals, and we put us all together as humanity in general, and this is the question of, which way is it going to go? Which way is it going to go? Is the future going to be this, or is it going to be that? That's what our faith asks us every day. That's what the prophecies talk about. Which way is it going to go? With that, let's talk for just a moment about our two passages. There are two prophecies. They may be two of some of the most well-known prophecies in all of our scriptures. They're both from the Old Testament, and each of which speaks about how the future is going to be, each of which paints a picture of how it's going to be. And the first one is from Isaiah. Now, this is a very familiar one at this time of year, because it's associated with Advent, the Advent of Christ, the Epiphany of Christ coming into our world, and Christmas, his presence, and how that's going to change things. What is he going to bring to the table, so to speak? And what kind of a difference is this going to make for our lives, and what kind of a difference is this going to make for the world? If we were ever to have God's vision, God's ideals speak to us clearly and plainly, this is saying, this is how it can be if we listen and follow. Jesus again says, this is how I want you to treat each other and live together. Look what I do. Listen to my words. And Jesus also shares with us, along with that, he also shares with us some things, and they may come across as being disturbing from time to time, as this is what happens if you don't follow this path. If you choose to go off on your own and do something different. So the Isaiah passage is the prophecy of what it looks like, what the world can be like, by following this vision and this leadership. And I read this passage at every 10 p.m. Christmas Eve service. It's so full of hope and promise and light. And then we have our second passage, and this is from the prophet Joel. Now, this passage is also widely referred to at this time of year, at the beginning of the year, when we're talking about new possibilities and new visions. And so both of these prophecies are talking about possibilities for the future. And yet, when you read on in Joel, you see that they have a very different vision in the end as to what the future might look like, depending on And here's the pivotal point. Depending on whether we follow God's ideal and vision of love and truth and honesty and justice and so forth or not. And this is why the second passage, while it starts out nicely enough and it lays out this vision, it really turns very bizarre and dark. And it sounds very different than the beautiful Isaiah passage, and yet they're both prophecies. And so because they're both prophecies, they beg the question of how can you have two biblical prophecies that are so different? One envisioning peace, the other one envisioning darkness. Is one right and the other one wrong? And these prophecies also beg maybe the most personal and relevant question of all, which is, what does this have to do with you? And what does this have to do with your life? And collectively our lives? So with that little bit, let's just listen now to the first passage from the prophet Isaiah, who wrote, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." And then from the prophet Joel, it's written, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even upon the men servants and maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit." And now I pause here, because it's usually at this point where people typically end this reading on the up note. But it actually goes on to say, and buckle up because it's dark. It says, "And I will give portents in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there shall be those who escape, as the Lord said. And among the survivors shall be those whom the Lord calls." Happy New Year. Here ends our scripture reading. May God bless our hearing, our understanding, and really our embodiment of this word. Two very different prophecies when you read through them. Prophecy of peace, spiritual leadership, of which there will be no end. And then prophecy that ends in blood, fire, columns of smoke, sun turning to darkness, moon to blood. These are two extraordinarily different visions of how the future might unfold, right? And I think when we look around in our world, we can see bits of both. But we might ask which one is right, which one will come to be. And I'll tell you why I share this morning. And that is because on Christmas Eve at the 10 p.m. candlelight service, when I read that passage from Isaiah, and it's so beautiful, and it foretells of the child be born, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government, and of peace there will be no end. I always ask myself, I feel a little strange reading that. Because I always ask myself, you know, is this true? This is the prophecy. What happened? Is it still in play? Because, of course, Christ came and he did reveal the truth. He is our wonderful counselor, everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. As we know, he said, love one another as I have loved you. That's the message. He presents us visions of how this will look when we make that choice. And also vividly different pictures of what happens if we choose differently for ourselves and for the world. So is the prophecy true? Will he bring peace and be our guide? It's tough to read those words sometimes, considering our world. And you know what? It's always been tough to read those words. There's always been something going on. And so I also think about Joel's prophecy and other prophecies like it that are apocalyptic, that don't paint a rosy picture, to say the least, of the future. And it strikes me that, you know, when you study prophecies and you go through and you read every one, you realize that there are always two very different visions of how the future might fold. Is it going to be a future of problems or a future of peace, tragedy or triumph? Which is it going to be? And it occurred to me that in spite of Joel's harsh and really, really unpleasant view of blood and fire and smoke, he's on to something in his prophecy, for as much as I hate to admit it. And what he's on to is, this is how prophecies work. This is how our faith works. What I mean is, the way that our reality and future take shape has everything to do with what we envision, what we dream of, what we hope for, what we value, what we commit to, what we accept as truth. To whom do we turn for the truth? What do we believe is possible? And then, maybe most of all, our faith and our life and prophecies depend on how do we respond to all of this. And they're always very clear, saying if you go this way, this is what's going to happen. You go the other way, this is what's going to happen. So what do we do with that vision that God gives us, that God gave us with Christ? And, you know, with this being a new year, it's a wonderful blessing. We're just 9 days into it. It's good to remember that when we talk about, you know, quote, the future, it's not set in stone. It's never set in stone. And our life isn't just plopped in our lap as this is the way that it's going to be. This is your life. As if we have no control. And so when we talk about prophecies that seem to say this is how things are going to be, if you read them carefully, they're always, again, contingent on what do we do with what God's given to us. I'm also aware that when I even mention, even using the word prophecy, I feel like it seems out of place, antiquated, irrelevant. We don't talk about in prophecies anymore. But the reality is that we're being told prophecies all the time. There are new prophecies unfolding that we're being told all the time. People saying things like, you know, if we continue on this trajectory or that, this is what's going to happen. Here's where we'll end up. And we do this with our own lives. It doesn't take a genius to make a prophecy about, you know, if someone who we know abuses and neglects their body day after day, it doesn't take a genius to be able to say, you know, if you keep that up, things are not going to turn out well for you. You can get away with it for a while, but prophecies are with us all the time. Prophets are among us all the time. The question is, who do we listen to? Are they reliable prophets? Are they worthy prophets? Do they reflect God's vision or not? Prophecies. What do you think the Fed is going to do? If Jerome Powell makes this move, how do you think that's going to affect us? Who do you think is going to run in the next election of this or that? What's going to happen with Omicron? What effect is that going to have? The news, most of the news, I would say, doesn't have to do with what happened, but of projecting, anticipating what's going to happen. So again, as we look at our lives 9 days into the new year, and we might wonder, you know, I wonder what the new year is going to bring. As we consider the future, we remember that it all depends, that there's no one vision of the future. And it doesn't just depend on God and what God gives us, but what happens, what we do with it. With that, I'm actually just going to share a little story that also highlights what makes a big difference is what we look at and how we look. And this is a story about a man named Kevin Keough. And he's a psychologist, and he wrote this. He said, I'm a clinical and police psychologist. He said, recently, as a 13-year-old boy entered my office, he was depressed and he was suicidal. And he cited the TV news as proof there's no point in living. He said, everything is out of control. It's all bad news. People are killing each other. The world is filled with terrorism, corruption. Kids are being used as sex slaves. That's reality, he said. And Dr. Keough writes, after I let him cry, I explained how TV news worked, how it doesn't accurately reflect reality much of the time, but it shows a very small distorted slice showing often one part of sometimes hundreds of millions. And it presents and generalizes that slice, that anomaly, many times as reality. He said after sharing with him some other news, he started to change his point of view. And so as we begin our new year, we ask along with how many die, do we also focus on how many are born healthy? And whose suffering is made well by those who care? What are those stories? Where's that news? Where's that vision? And that vision is, of course, here, among other places. But how many people take horrible things that happen to them and build incredible lives to go on and help lots of people? Where are those stories? Where's that good news? That's here. In your life, when you look at the losses, do you also look at the gains? When you look at your deficits, do you also look as carefully and scrutinize and count your assets? When we focus on those who sadly die from cancer, do we also focus on those who are helped and healthy and the good years we have and had and the good years they had? When we focus on what we can't do, do we spend at least as much energy on what we can do? With so much focus and fascination on those who terrorize, how about those who help and heal? And those who risk themselves for the good and teach and try. So as we step just 9 days into the new year, what do the prophets say? The prophets tell us, you are making that choice. It may not happen necessarily initially in terms of what we're given, but what shape we give it, either proactively or no-actively. You go to a doctor physically, do you do what the doctor says? Do you not just join the gym, but actually go to the gym? What's your future and who's in charge? And how will it be with your soul in 2022 and beyond? Peace or chaos? Tragedy or triumph? Who's in charge? What do the prophets say? The gift has been given, the possibilities, the potentials, and now it's our turn. And knowing that and doing that, that creates a happy and healthy and strong and just and loving and beautiful new year and new life. Amen. Not only gave us in the past, but gives us every time we open our eyes, gives us every time we walk out the door, and gives us every time we take another breath and we have our heart beat once again. The gift of possibilities, the gift of love, the gift of courage, the gift of inspiration, actually knowing what God does want for us and want for the world, and then being able to take that and manifest that through our lives. And so, in this way, as we go out into the world, may God truly be in your head and in your understanding. May God be in your eyes and in your vision and what you see and how you see. May God be in your ears and in your careful listening. May God be in your heart and the fullness of your loving. May God be in your hands and arms and in your enfolding and in your uplifting and in your strengthening. and encourage you, now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.